You'll be familiar with my next guest. It's absolutely fantastic to have him on the line. He was the former CEO of TTNQ and did an absolutely fantastic job, widely respected for the work he did here at TTNQ. He then went on to a very significant national role as the CEO of Greyhound Australia. Alex Duvall, great pleasure to have you on The King Review.
Thank you for that lovely introduction, Gavin. Great to be here.
Now, a lot, of course, for us to unpack and chat about. Greyhound, obviously a national company, so many destinations right around in every state, so many regional destinations as well. We would all know or appreciate how tough it has been for you and the team at Greyhound over the last, 15 months or so now. Where are you at as we speak, and what do the next 6 to 9 months look like for Greyhound?
Punch drunk and recovering quickly. So, Greyhound, just to give you a quick background, the actual company Greyhound Australia was founded in Toowoomba in 1928. And in fact, the actual company Greyhound Australia nowadays is a combination of Greyhound Australia, McCafferty's, Pioneer, etc. So it has origins that go back to 1902. So, it's a very well-established Australian-owned company that has, when COVID struck, we were operating 420 weekly services. So a whole network right across Australia, basically from, Melbourne right up to Alice Springs, up to Darwin, across to Broome, and across from Tennant Creek, across to Townsville, up to Cairns, and right down the East Coast again. So, significant national network. We were operating 420 weekly services. During COVID, that dropped down to 14 services.
Wow, that is a massive drop. Insane.
Huge impact. So from 550 staff, we had to make 150 redundant, and we stood down 250. So we've had some, significant change that we've had to manage, and a significant impact on the business, as has, as have most businesses in Australia. So, it's been a significant battle over the past 12 months. But we've now been fighting our way back. We're basically up to about 180 services per week now, and we have one service which is of particular interest to Cairns that currently operates from Melbourne right up to Cairns once a day, so 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And that's gradually coming back, but of course we're missing the international travellers, as Cairns is, we're waiting with bated breath for the borders to reopen, because it's making business very, very difficult without those international travellers.
And what's the component of international guests at Greyhound?
Well,
normally, under normal circumstances.
Yeah. And I think because we've got such an extensive network, it's very difficult to generalise. But if you look at the Sydney to Cairns route, it is predominantly driven by the backpacker market. So, a significant amount of backpacker travel. We'd be talking about 60% of that particular route is supported by it. So, and that's pretty much consistent with our current operation. We're operating at about 40% of pre-COVID numbers. A large proportion is reliant on that international visitor.
And it's not looking good, let's be frank, in terms of those international borders. I've had Reverend Tim Costello on this show today raising huge concerns about Indonesia, which has sort of flown under the radar. The big focus has been on India and the tragedy unfolding there. But he's warning now that Indonesia, right on our doorstep, is the next India, if you like. We know PNG and European countries as well continue to struggle with second and third waves. You must be discussing those international borders, the situation internationally with governments and other business leaders. The concept of these travel bubbles, as we've got with NZ, are there other countries that you'd like to see us progress in terms of those travel, but those direct travel bubbles?
Look, absolutely right. There's significant threats remain on the horizon, and albeit immunisation hopefully will progressively improve the scenario around the world, you know, we can expect it's going to, you know, the current impact is going to continue for the next 12 to 18 months is our anticipation. So we've got to survive as a business really internally within Australia with domestic travel to make sure we're in a good position to take up any international visitors that eventually come back to our shores. So, you know, big storm clouds remain on the horizon and we've still got a lot of challenges. And you can imagine under that scenario with JobKeeper obviously being pulled back, we benefited greatly from JobKeeper and that was of great assistance. And we were bracing ourselves for the loss of JobKeeper and we've been able to manage that. But at the same time, in conjunction with the loss of JobKeeper, the federal government came out and basically provided a subsidisation of Qantas and Virgin flights to various regions around Australia. Now, Qantas and Virgin are direct competitors of Greyhound Australia. You know, we're not a coach company that picks up people from the airport and drives them around the destination. We're a long-haul coach operator. And so Qantas and Virgin are direct competitors of Greyhound Australia. And, you know, our direct competitors have been given a 50% subsidisation of their fares. And so, you know, we've raised this with the Deputy PM and he's written back a very polite correspondence advising us that we will be able to look forward to significant flow-on effects, if you like, from this investment that they've made. Well, let me tell you what we've experienced is that, you know, Alan Joyce has actually confirmed that Qantas is now operating at 107% of pre-COVID demand and Jetstar at 120%, whilst Greyhound is operating at negative 60% of domestic demand and negative 100% of our international demand. So whilst the Deputy PM assurances might apply to local-based coach operators that pick up their passengers from airports, they don't apply to Australia's only national long-haul coach operators. So, you know, there's we're certainly very, very concerned by that initiative that the government's undertaken.
And I think, as we said earlier, that Greyhound actually has a greater benefit to many, many regional areas that those airlines certainly don't fly into.
Well, I think what's really important to understand is that Greyhound actually services four times the number of destinations serviced by the airlines, and we provide 2,511 different sector combinations. So whilst we connect 200 regional communities across Australia, Qantas and Virgin together, both of them, service 50 destinations in Australia. So there's a filigree of a network that the coach companies and Greyhound in particular, we're the only national coach company in Australia. That network that we provide is really critical for a lot of regional communities, you know, for medical supplies, blood supplies, etc. We do a lot of freight between hospitals and, you know, since we've reactivated the Sydney to Cairns route, all the hospitals have, you know, re-engaged with us and people that need to get from, you know, from a hospital back home, etc. are using our services quite frequently. So, you know, there's such a huge impact to such a broad range of communities at a micro level. Unfortunately, at a macro level, really the first instance, everybody goes straight to the airlines and sort of thinks, well, you know, we need to sort of foster that macro supply. But it for the average Australian, for the everyday Australian, Greyhound provides an extraordinary service and one that is cost-effective 365 days a year, not just when a particular sale is on or subsidisation is in place. So, you know, we'll continue to battle, but we're certainly being challenged by these circumstances and the government helping our competitors in the current environment.
Do you keep in touch with what's happening in Cairns in terms of our tourism sector? You were intimately integral, really, to the Gasana Bude investment in Cairns a couple of years ago when you were at the helm of TTNQ. Of course, COVID has thrown everyone's plans out the window, but do you still keep in touch with Cairns? Do you like what you're seeing? What's happening apart from COVID?
I stay very close contact with a lot of friends that I've you know, continue to maintain in the Cairns region, and, you know, obviously a personal interest. I was very passionately involved in driving, you know, the prospects of tourism in Cairns, and, you know, Gasana Bude is fantastic. I really feel bitterly disappointed to sort of see these global impacts souring, if you like, what I think is a fantastic investment in a fantastic region. I know Gasana will benefit in the long term, but, you know, certainly in the short term there's been some significant setbacks, and I've, you know, felt those setbacks as well as intimately observed those impacts through the contacts that I have and the people that I stay in contact with, and I'm speak to Bob Manning and to Cam Charlton and a number of other key people in the industry up there on a regular basis. I've naturally very proudly established the Citizens of the Great Barrier Reef Foundation and, you know, talk to Andy Ridley and the team up there regularly as well. So there's some great work going. I mean, you know, Cairns is such a resilient community, and you know, they band together and really, really work, do extraordinary job in servicing and providing tourism experiences to domestic and international travellers. So, you know, it's a key destination for Greyhound, and it's a key destination for me personally, you know, for my own personal interest. And I certainly think it's well positioned to come out of this doing very well. But the journey, like ourselves, is not a pleasant one.
That is putting it mildly. Alex De Waal, CEO of Greyhound Australia, former CEO of TT&Q. Absolute pleasure to have you on the King Review today.
Thank you. In regards to all in Cairns, all the best.